Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Raigo.
The deep sea monster versus the battleship Yamato, 2005.
Right.
Okay. A little history first.
Okay.
We have not seen the third of the reboot Gamoras yet, but what I had learned was that basically the third installment leaves some unanswered questions for fans, I guess.
Okay.
And then this guy made a fan film, which was basically a Gamora 4. Mm-hmm. And that got, I guess, some good response. And then, so then this is the movie he did after that, which is pretty ultra low budget.
Yeah.
Monster movie. Yeah. This is a real battleship, by the way. Did you know that?
I looked it up because I was familiar with the name.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, it's like from an anime or something I haven't seen before. Like maybe it had been brought up during Latitude Zero or something. I don't know. Or I don't know. It sounded familiar.
Yeah, so this was like, you know, the top tier battleship in Japan's Navy back during World War II.
Right.
I mean, we can talk about, you know, the reality a bit more, because like after it faces Raigo, it then lives on, and then it has its final mission was basically a suicide mission. Like it was there to beach itself somewhere to block and just hold off the American Navy as long as it could, but until basically it was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so it's that's like at the end of it when it starts turning all kabuki.
Okay.
In the movie, uh-huh. It says in the caption, it says, "You know the rest of the story." And then it kind of did this kind of weird artsy kabuki thing in its kind of telling of that the rest of the history as far as Battleship Yamato goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thoughts? Well, where do you want to start?
So what's funny is no matter, like, I think we alluded to this in X Strikes Back, Attack mm-hmm. on the G8 Summit, where we do not really contact each other about our thoughts before we start recording.
Right.
And and what's funny is,
it's all about trying to save it for
we
the
must
shows.
Have, yes. We must have... Well, here's the thing also. On our last episode, we said that we were going to set up our list and for the remainder of this year so that we could have a really good, you know, final year and get everything like that we want to see going. And so the list was kind of set in place. We must have watched this movie about the same time because not more than like a couple hours after I watched it, I get a text from you that says, is it possible that we discuss keeping Raiga on the list or something to that effect? Which led me to respond, yes, absolutely.
I was about maybe a half hour into the movie.
Oh, really?
And I was like, depending on how Raigo goes, we can decide if you want to see Raiga.
Right.
I'm reading the text right now.
So... So kind of looking for artwork to post on the Instagram page and stuff.
Yeah.
For Raigo, I keep finding stuff for Raiga. Raiga, oh. Raiga.
I think it's Raiga and Raigo.
Okay. So Raiga looks like a man in the suit.
Yeah.
And this one definitely was not, even though I think there's some like close-ups of the face, but there's so much like green screen that it doesn't look like a guy in a suit.
It's so, yeah, there's some puppets. There's definitely some puppets.
Right.
I mean, I think the puppets for the bonefish look better than Rago puppet.
Right. I don't know what to do. I can say let's just toss it aside and find something else to take its place. But I mean, seeing the man in the suit stuff means it would be cool to see what this guy did with actual physical models, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, is it?
I don't know. Listen, it's like, so basically this is us basically letting everybody know that yes, we put dates for put episode numbers for the different movies that we're planning to hit over the course of this final year of doing this, mm-hmm. but nothing is set in stone. Things can change. Right. There's definitely some that we really want to hit. Like, I mean, we want to see all those Ashiro Honda movies that we can. Yeah, we might take a detour. We didn't know anything going into Rago. We just found out that it existed, and then I found that it was coming out on DVD. I got a copy, and then we checked it out. And I don't know if it's exactly what we want to spend our time on.
I know. So that's what I'm thinking is, the only thing we have to go on as far as the sequel is our gut and what we saw in this movie, which I don't think for either of us was very good.
I have one more thing that said it didn't seem that it was that great. And I was like, oh, because like based on the reviews that someone had done for this one and Raya, they liked this one more. And okay. I was like, ooh, this is the better one. I don't know.
Because I was thinking maybe talking to the listeners.
Yeah, this is why we come to you and ask you, like, if there's anything that you think we should hit for sure.
But,
you know,
I mean,
there might be some spots opening up.
Yeah, but like, look, so like, if you're like, hey, I like Raiga a lot, go look at our list and say, oh, but you gotta watch blank before you watch that. Like, you know, like there's, you can see what we haven't chosen over the course of the year.
Master list,
yeah, so if there's something on there where like, oh, you guys absolutely are missing out if you don't watch that, let us know so we can slot that in to Raiga, because I think we may skip it.
Yeah,
but I just, this movie, it was,
listen, if this movie had a better budget, we might have enjoyed it.
I think, I don't even think that's the issue. I think what we want to see is destruction, and what we get is just a series of battleships versus these creatures that could be moved around and placed around in any order, with the exception of like the final one. Like there's no like sequence where you're like, oh, that was the cool sequence where this happened. It's all just them firing or not firing guns at the giant monster. So I mean, I don't think we always need like city destruction.
Yeah,
that helps, but it's like takes place completely in water. Like even with Monster X Strikes Back, even though it was only on that one little set with the bushes and the power lines, like you still had a monster fight. You still had like three or four different sort of missions to try to stop a one that like covered his body in plastic and one that shot some sort of sad gas that made him happy or something. Like there was different set pieces, and then we had a monster fight. This was just like the same thing every single time. And the effects look like a PC game.
Exactly. Look like a video game.
Yeah, but like this came out in 2005, and it looked like video games from like maybe 98.
Sure.
Like along the lines of like a PlayStation 1, which I mean, I understand it's a low budget.
Yeah.
I thought Rego, I thought he looked cool.
As far as the moments when like they animate him jumping out of the water.
Yeah.
Those are cool looking. Mm-hmm. But right. they don't impinge. They don't have an impact. Listen, a fight of a monster against a battleship isn't easy because battleships are slow.
Right.
And I liked the concept. I liked the Hail Mary strategy of basically partially sinking the ship so that it could tilt.
Right.
That was kind of a cool idea, mm-hmm. but there's not a lot of show in that type of a fight, you know?
Right. And because it's
CG, not action.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I don't even think you see the creature bust up any ships. It's either the lightning or he gets it from below the water. So there's no like real, yeah. It doesn't feel like there's real like sort of physical altercation between the two sides. Like at least when, you know, we watch like Frankenstein Conquers the World, they built a giant boat and he's pushing on the giant boat.
Yeah.
Or in, I think it was Giant Behemoth, he takes out a boat. And
there's right, like there's people, never a there's moment where you falling feel off like in the, water. The monster's touching the boat.
No.
Even when he does the tail whip, it's like, okay. Yeah, this, yeah, for sure. And there's stuff in it that's, listen, the part of like it being a low budget movie, there's moments where the sound isn't good because it's like not everyone is mic'd well.
Right.
Little things like that that just start grating on you as a viewer. At least it does on me. The bit with like the bloody hand, and then it drops halfway down the wall.
I like that.
Yeah, but it's very kind of like low budget horror movie kind of effect.
Right.
It's such a like plastic hand and fake blood kind of bit.
I think that's one of the toughest things with this movie is you have a bit like that, which is kind of cheesy, but I thought was fun. But yeah. Then it seemed like the battleship stuff, even though I didn't know it was based on a real ship, felt very serious. And so there's a lot of points.
It had some tone problems.
Yeah. So we start off and I feel like I was like, it's going to be like a funny comedy. Cause there's this man and this woman who are expecting a baby and he wants, a baby with a penis.
Yeah.
To the point where he chants it.
You learn penis.
Yeah.
You learn the Japanese word for penis by watching this movie. Cause he says it very clearly. Chin chin. At least that's one of them. I went to double check if that was right. And there are a few Japanese words for penis, like any language.
But there's a couple of questionable shots that I was like, okay, it's a comedy. But then it starts taking itself kind of seriously. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, not only that, as a comedy, it's like... it's aiming for like American Pie. It's like the part where he sneaks his girlfriend onto the boat.
Yeah.
And he's fondling her boobs and then they lift the thing that was covering her face and it turns out it's an old man.
Right.
That kind of humor. It's like, what?
And then there's a shot of schoolgirl's underwear for no reason. That was bizarre too. When all the girls were walking along the beach singing, and then one of the girls grabs the front of their skirts and lifts them up.
Oh, really?
You might have been taking a note about something else weird, because I think that happened like right after we first see like the CG ships for the first time, or after the dude feels the old man's boobs.
But yeah, I was like. Yeah, I wasn't sure because like this DVD, I wasn't sure also about the company as far as like how good it was going to be. There was no English dub, so we had to read during it, and whoever did the subtitles, they subtitled everything.
Right. It was like subtitle for the hearing point impaired. Of
ridiculousness. Yeah, exactly. It was like, you know, hungry grunts, groans right. and release, gasp, set, release.
Sets glass down.
Paper shakes.
My two favorite happened at the back to back. Plate put down angrily and melon stabbed repeatedly.
Yeah. Spoon jabbed at melon repeatedly. Now, technically, based on the picture, that was a papaya half. Uh-huh. But yeah, that one. The other one I liked was it's there's a piece of like thing that it says. It's uh-huh. like he says he gets when the guy when they start moving like the different people around in the Navy, uh-huh. and it says you're appointed Secretary of the Navy, spoon drop.
Yes.
And I was just kind of like taking it like if like spoon drop was like the version of mic drop in this movie.
Did you watch through the end credits?
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz the last one was whoosh monster noise chomp. Which I didn't know who that dude was, but it felt like it was an in memoriam that got eaten by.
Oh, yeah. Lego. I don't know what that one is either. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. It's a picture of a guy who looks like, oh, did someone die during the making or something? And then, yeah, and then the Rego cartoon chomps him.
Yeah. So at the right up the front at the front of the movie, I thought it was going to be OK because we get like shots of Rego underwater. So I'm like, well, I guess it's not going to be like a mystery. So it's going to be kind of fun. We're going to, you know, they're not holding back showing the monster. So we'll kind of, you know, be able to get right into the action. But then I was kind of disappointed because it wasn't interesting, really.
Yeah. The other thing that I kept also like, cause like there are parts of the movie were in color.
Yes.
Parts of the movie were in black and white.
Right.
Parts of the movie were in sepia tone. But we did not change time periods during any of that stuff.
I think the only time jump is at the end.
Oh, when they jump to the future of the battleship?
Well, when you see the boy with the penis, he's like right. he's like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And he comes across that guy's fiance or friend. But the thing is, she doesn't look like she's any older. Right. They just put her right. in like a different outfit.
The boy who's got the little like turtle, maybe it's a Gamera doll, who knows, thing on the string. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's another random thing. Okay. You know the guy with the eye patch?
Right.
There's lots of, by the way, all the guys are yelling when they're giving orders on the ship. Uh-huh. And this guy, cuz at first the first time I saw him, it was like, I don't know, it was like this, he looked like a pit bull type of character guy.
Oh yeah.
And then later there's a part where he's unbuttoning his coat and they put sound effects for each button on the boat on the coat that he's unbuttoning. It made it some kind of like wacky comedy sound effect for him opening his jacket. But those sound effects didn't get subtitled.
That's really weird, cuz maybe the subtitle guy was confused.
So weird.
Yeah. you put question marks. Buttons opening? Question mark? The bonefish attack was okay. It was kind of cool, but like there was like random lights under the water and I couldn't tell what was going on. And there's a lot of use of like CG lens flare.
There was no visible connection. It's just kind of like they had some shots of the bonefish puppet. I just think the bonefish puppet looked cool. And they had some like cartoons of the bonefish. But and then people reacting. I think there was like someone maybe holding a thing that is like the bonefish body up against his neck kind of thing. Uh-huh. And that's kind of the extent of it.
It was like a quick shot.
Yeah.
I don't have too many notes.
Okay.
I thought the censored love letter was interesting.
That was interesting because There was a lot that was censored on it, but it was very long.
Yeah. This American.
I was curious. Hold on, about this level too. I was curious about that because I go that's an interesting detail. Like it could be a reality thing that the government censored because it's like the postcards that got sent. And you just get to read what the government says. All right, this, you know, we need to keep you focused on the war or something. Maybe, who knows? The American Navy guy that they find, they pull onto the ship, who speaks perfect Japanese and speaks English with a Japanese accent.
Right. Right.
Part of the heavy gun crew.
I like the way he says, holy shit.
Yes.
All of his American English words were like swears and it's just very strange. Like I wonder, like I try to think about it from the other side. Like if we have, like if we reverse it, if we had an American movie and someone playing a Japanese person, would it be just as weird? Like a, because there are Japanese American people.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to explain, but we saw it in Shin Godzilla, where the female lead was playing an American and she was Japanese.
Right.
And in Japan, are they pulling off an American well? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
like are they buying? Think, like are they?
Do they
buying
think it?
It
sounds American?
Right.
I don't know.
Because if I were to see like a Japanese American person doing a Japanese accent, I would just assume they're Japanese, or if they're speaking Japanese. Because I'm not familiar with the culture that much. So I'm wondering, do the Japanese people think that dude is like pulling off a great American character?
Okay. That's a good question.
I don't know.
That's a really good question. Because listen, there are times that I've watched TV shows where there's a family and they're speaking Spanish to each other. And where you can hear like this is a, you know, they're supposed to be whatever, a family from the same place or whatever it is, but it's clearly it'll be something like this is a Puerto Rican accent talking to a Mexican accent to a gringo accent, you know?
Right. I wouldn't pick up on that.
Like a really coarse American accented Spanish talking to someone who's a native speaker, and they talk to each other because they're related. It's you hear it, you do hear it,
right?
So I don't know, because you say you might not catch that,
right?
Interesting. Yeah, maybe.
I just thought it was interesting.
I have another great subtitle: Dramastic Music Builds.
It's just a misspelling.
I don't know. Maybe it's just.
There was one that it said flute like music plays, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it is a flute.
They don't even trust it.
The subtitle guy was like, I'm pretty sure it's a flute.
Maybe it's like a flute synthesizer.
Maybe.
Okay, but that wouldn't be a flute. Rego eats Murinishi.
Yes, that's my next note. He eats people. Which we discussed sometimes. I think we mostly just discuss it when we see it happen. I think we get excited because of like playing Rampage growing up. Is that you don't really see a lot of kaiju eat people.
Yeah.
It happens in Kong Skull Island.
Well, you can't really do it unless it's a CGI kaiju. Because it's like you can't really work a guy in the costume, I guess, necessarily. Well, I guess some puppet dolls people. Probably got eight. Yeah, probably. Yeah. That was really bad CGI. That almost looked like the kind of CGI that they would show to depict in case of emergency and kaiju eats human, and then they have like a model like shaped of a person being eaten. It felt very like, you know, when you hear someone say something and then they kind of try to do an artist rendering of how it might look.
Right. The CG reminded me of like a DVD demo that you would see in a Best Buy in like 1998.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like one of those where it's just like, it's like computer scapes or.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like the guy almost looks like, you know, like that doll that artists use to pose people and kind of like as like models of to how the body moves.
Uh-huh.
Very like there's like no facial features or anything.
Yeah.
Him getting shot was cool.
Yes.
When it shoots and she come out through him, that looked pretty cool.
Like that point blank. Even though earlier in the movie they couldn't shoot that close range, but I guess since the boat was like half sinking, it was like, yeah, like you said, a Hail Mary. A couple of things. So when he gets shot and he crashes and there's like this red mist flying out and the mist just kind of like hovers in the air and slowly dissipates. There's a couple of shots like that where like boats explode or ships explode and then the water is just slowly coming down, but they don't cut away. They just leave it on the shot. Which I thought was an interesting style choice. But I liked it better when they shot Rago as opposed to just some random boat. Some random CG boat.
Yeah, it looked cooler. Yeah.
Definitely
feel like that was like, get this part done first and make sure this is right. And then whatever money's left over, we'll CGI boats.
The design of the character I liked. It's definitely unique.
Yeah.
I think it was Zegra, the fish from the Gamera movies. Like there was a little bit of that in there because it had like a fish body, but then it had like flippers like Gamera when Gamera flies, but then like a Godzilla head. Like it was really interesting. Like it looked like it could fly around
or like. More. Yeah, or like if a Loch Ness monster had a really short, it didn't have a long neck, you know, because he had like the plesiosaur style almost like fins,
but only the
and
front
he had like
fins.
he had a big like thing on his back too, like a sailish kind of thing on his back, I think too.
Yeah, I thought the design was really interesting, and when we saw it right up front at the beginning, I was excited, but then it didn't look as good later in the movie. When it did jump out of the water and there was like surrounded by the lightning and the lightning was shooting out, that was cool.
Yeah, it looked cool.
Yeah.
All right. So in they're trying to get one of the heavy gunners dies. And so then they have this idea to enlist the American prisoner because he's part of the heavy gun crew. On his ship. So that happens. Then they defeat Rago. And then the guy who's in charge of all the gunners down there, he's like talking about how he's great to, you know, get his enemies, you know, referring to the Americans. There's this weird kind of moment between then the Americans like, hey, I'm your enemy. And they're like, kind of like this kind of like really weird moment.
Yeah. Not as weird as the ending. I had no idea what was going on with the Kabuki.
Yeah, because like everyone that died, they did the blood on their faces looked like Kabuki paint, basically.
Right,
but then they cut to the actual Kabuki. Yeah.
That was all interesting, and I'm gonna actually bring that up again on our next episode. Because we find on this show, the way we record two episodes at a time, how we find weird coincidences.
Connections between them?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something in the next episode that's very similar. And it's kind of exciting to me that of all, like, it's just random how this works out.
Yeah, that's just how it lines up.
Yeah.
Let him die in peace and dignity.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too, because they were just unloading. Like, I mean,
they surrounded him and they were just shooting like their machine guns at him.
Yeah, and I mean,
enough.
Yeah, if you're gonna be able to put him out of his misery, fine, but don't just torture him. I did like that, because it wasn't. It wasn't personal. Like, this was something like, we just have to do this because you're a monster destroying stuff. But there's I don't know, it felt like there was some respect there for Rago. Yeah. Even though he was one of his dudes.
Yeah, as opposed to when they would laugh at Gamera. Whenever Gamera would end up on his back, they would laugh at him.
Right.
At one point I wrote, the CGI is depressing.
I think if it wasn't just boats versus monster the whole time, I get if you have to resort to CG, but if there was more interesting things to do, because it clearly could fly, if there was some sort of dogfight sequence,
I wonder what the Raiga trailer looks like.
Right. I did not look at that one.
Because my feeling is it's going to be kind of like those Millennium Godzillas where there's a lot of he's behind a mountain or some kind of composite that just zips around.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, people can let us know. So let us know. I mean, but don't be you should check it out. It's pretty cool.
No, tell us what movie we should watch instead.
Right. Exactly.
That's what we really want to
list,
know.
Our list is pretty burly still. There's a lot of stuff in there. And we just picked the stuff that we thought was going to be the coolest stuff. And maybe we have room to wiggle.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should. It's a lot. To plan a full year's worth of movies, and not think that there's going to be some adjustments. I mean, we had to make the adjustment after they moved the release date for King Kong vs. Godzilla.
Right, but what's funny is we're already doing the adjusting on the first week. We have good stuff coming up. Do you want to talk about next episode?
Yes.
Okay. So we're doing it. We're finally closing it up. We're watching The Wrath of Daimajin, aka Daimajin 3.
Daimajin Strikes Again. Daimajin Counterattack.
Yeah. It's kind of tough because all three Daimajins came out in 1966.
Right.
So you can't just say, hey, watch the one from 1966, because that could be any of them. This is the one with snow, if that helps.
Oh.
Because the first one took place on the side of that mountain. The second one took place in the water. And this one kind of takes place in the snow.
Mm.
So if there's snow, you're watching.
You're on the right one.
Yeah. Plus, we'll have a link. So check kaijupod.com. Watched Wrath of Daimajin, that'll give you links to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, which, man, people are still going to the YouTube. I'm still getting all kinds of people subscribing, which is cool, but
really, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, check that out. Until next time.
Oh no.
I'm going to go fill up this old man.
I'm just gonna sit down on the floor to eat dinner. What?
Huh? Who eats dinner on the floor?
They all did. They all sat down. It's cold. Yeah.
Yeah, they were sitting around talking about
Raiga.
The myth of Raiga. Raiga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Getting drunk. Oh, by the way. Three of the people that were in it. Oh, the man who was the commander He was the original Ultraman.
Oh, okay.
And the young guy was in a newer Ultraman called Ultraman Cosmos.
Okay.
He was on the show. I don't think he was Ultraman, but I don't know for sure. And also the guy who played the inspector in the Gamera movies was in it.
Oh, huh. That's pretty cool. Is that a thing where it's it's like a homage to the history of kaiju
fan
movies?
Service.
Or is
I
it?
I think it's fan. I think.
You think so?
I don't know.
Because if you live in England, chances are you were going to be in one of those Harry Potter movies, just because.
No, not coincidence. I'm sure it's because the guy who made it was a fan of. He's a big fan of the whole kaiju, you know, movie thing, and so, you know, I think he hired whoever he could.
All right.